speech, it's the word. This is going to open our Bibles, 2 John chapter 6. 2 John chapter 6, we'll be reading verse 37. Amen. 2 John chapter 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which come down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, And they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Amen. We'll read from Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Paul and Timotheus, the servant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord, as we just come to this portion of the service, Lord, it's like every portion we just committed all to you, and just ask, Lord, that you would take our efforts, Lord, as feeble as they are, just in our limitations of humanity. We ask, God, that you just receive us tonight, Lord, and that you would use us both to speak and to hear, Lord, that your kingdom would grow. Lord, that this little group right here is part of your body worldwide, Lord, that we'd be strengthened. We ask, God, that you just take this service now. I give it to you, these people, and the needs for tonight. I just give that to you now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We pray. You can see it. Amen. The pull of God. You know, so it's very clear to us. You know, we say it all the time, but you know, the scripture let us know that we are all born in sin, shaping in iniquity, coming to the world speaking lies. And you know, I got three fairly grand new grandbabies, and you know, you watch them, and as sweet as they are, and as much as you love them, and they just make you smile all the time. You know, but they were born in sin, yeah, shaping in iniquity, and they come into the world speaking lies. You do not have to tell a child to start acting up. They just start doing it automatically. Mm-hmm. They start, you know, you name it. They just start doing those things, and it's because it's in them. Yeah. And so I said all that to say this, we're all born that way, and so we all came into this world, none of us seeking God. And Brother Bram tells us, you read in there, it was God that came down in the Garden of Eden that was looking for Adam and Eve when they had sinned. Now you think about that. They were used to God coming down in the cool of the day, which I believe would be evening time, and fellowshipping. But once they sinned, when it come time to fellowship with the Father, they wanted to lay out. They wanted to go somewhere else and be somewhere away from God because of the conviction that they had already in their hearts. And so they went and hid. And it was God looking for them when they were in sin. They weren't looking for God. God was looking for them. And so we know that that's maybe it's hard to say, or hard for some people to accept that, but to say, well, because a lot of people, they take great pride in what they do. But we must realize that we were not seeking God. And even now, we don't seek God, right? It's not us. And so it is God seeking man. And so because we're all born in sin, shape, and iniquity, we just all come in the world, and none of us were seeking after God. And so I heard Brother Lonnie Jenkins say this years ago, and so I'm going to say it tonight. It may not be exactly the way he phrased it, but it'll get the same point across. And that is, so since we're all born that way, so if God did not predestinate some to come, how many would come? Nobody. Nobody would come, right? So if God wasn't seeking us, no, we wouldn't come, right? So it was him that did it. And so that's why Jesus can say some of the things that we just read and many other things. So Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me. The Father gave him something, right? The Father gave him a group of people. And Jesus said, all that the Father hath given me, they shall come.
Right.
Every one of them shall come.
Right.
Right? Not one of them left behind. Every one of them shall come. And he said, and I will not cast them out. Right? I'll not lose one of them. But I will raise them up to the last day. I don't care what happens to the believer, whoever. If you are in that gift that God gave to the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're coming.
Amen.
And he's not losing you.
Right.
And no matter what happens, he will raise you up at the last day, because that's his word. And so thank God that God had some that he gave.
Amen.
Right? So Jesus could say that all of the Father gave me will come, and I'm not losing one. And so then I wanted to read that scripture where Paul said, he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it. As I was saying the other day, God don't have to repent of something. The scriptures actually tell us that. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent, right? He's not a person that makes a mistake, so he doesn't have to repent. He doesn't have to change his mind and back up on what he's done or what he said. He doesn't have to do that. And so if he's begun a good work in you, right, he don't have to take that back.
Right.
He doesn't have to. And so he will perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus, when the Lord comes and gathers all his. And so he's not going to run out. He's going to start something. He started something in you, and it's not going to run out. It's going to hold until that day of the Lord Jesus, until redemption. So you don't have to worry about it. And it's not something you did. It's something he did.
Right.
Okay? And so he will perform it till the day of the Lord Jesus. And so we talk a lot, as because it's in the message. Brother Branham talked about it a lot, that the church is built on revelation. Mm-hmm. Read it in Matthew. The church is built on revelation, and because Jesus said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He was walking around, and maybe they thought maybe he was a prophet or something like that, but he said, who am I? Right? Because this is what every one of us is confronted with.
Yeah.
Right? Because it requires a personal revelation, a personal relationship of Jesus Christ with you. And so when he said, who do men say that I am? Some say this, some say that, or one of the prophets or something like that. But Peter made that famous statement that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said in response to that, he said, Peter, flesh and blood hath not revealed that to you. Right? Nobody walked up and said it. Right? He didn't see it with flesh. He didn't hear it with flesh ears, see it with flesh eyes. Right? Flesh and blood hath not revealed that to you, but my Father which is in heaven hath revealed that unto you.
Yeah.
And Brother Branham goes on to clarify that, to straighten out what the Protestants and the Catholics thought about it, and saying that it was the church was built on the rock of Revelation. And if you have the rock of Revelation in your life, then the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. And I think Brother Brim said it shows that the gates would be against it. Yeah. Right? But they're not going to prevail because Satan can't do anything with revelation when you have a revelation in your heart. He can't take it away.
Right.
He can't confuse it. It's something that you have heard from God. And so when he said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and he said, my Father hath revealed this to you. Right? That's where it come from. Came from God. And so we read in the scriptures there, it said, every man that hath heard and learned of the Father does what? Comes to Jesus. Right? Everyone that hears from God and learns what he's, you know, and learns what he's, what God is telling them, the end result of what that is they come to Jesus.
Right?
And Jesus is the Word. So if God speaks to you, what's he going to do? He's going to lead you and guide you right straight to the Word of God, to the fountain of life, right? Yeah. Every man that hath heard and learned of the Father. He refers to the scriptures and the prophets said, and they shall all be taught of God. Well, you know what? Everybody in the world is not taught of God, right? Because not everybody's coming.
Right.
But everyone that is taught of God, they come. So that scripture was not talking about the whole world, but it was talking all about the family of God. Everyone of the family of God, they're going to hear from God. And because they hear from God, he will bring them right straight to the Word. And what is it that reveals the Word to you? The Holy Spirit.
Right.
Right? So that's why Jesus could say those things that he did. And so we realize God is the one that's doing the pulling, right?
Mm-hmm.
He pulls us. And he doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't repent of it. And he doesn't forget what he started out to do.
Yeah.
And he doesn't give up.
That's right.
Right? Once he started it, he doesn't give up. I was thinking on this. And if you watch the Nativity movie, and you also watch the Moses movie, and in both of them, and I noticed that in the Nativity movie, when Zacharias went inside the temple there, and he doubted, the Lord was talking to him, saying, you're going to, you know, Elizabeth's going to have a son and so forth. And he doubted or whatever. And the way they did the movie, they made God get mad. And God spoke angrily at him. Oh, because you not believe my word. And I thought, that's not the way it happened. But in the movie of Moses, when Moses is there before the burning bush, and I can't talk, you know. God just continues to speak at the same level, see?
Yeah.
Because God's infinite,
yeah.
Right? We can't surprise him.
Right.
He doesn't go, oh, I can't believe what they just did.
Right.
That don't happen,
that's right.
Right? Everything he knew, and so he doesn't have to pull back and say, well, you know, Moses, I thought I could send you, but you made a mistake, and now look what's happened. No, he was still God's servant. Still, the words through the ages, the Old Testament, that they're showing what Moses was. And so God didn't have to pull back on it. And God doesn't give up when you have a rough day, or he bears along with you. And so we know he does the pulling. And so the pull of God, we can all go back and we can look back in our lives and we can see where the Lord was pulling us. I remember as a kid, and I've said this many times, just a little bitty fella, you know, several different times. But I remember one time I was, and I think I've told this, back out by the chicken pen. We had a chicken pen, and there was a great big piece of metal laying up behind that pen. And I for some reason, I'd like to crawl from one end to the other, you know, just a little bitty fella. My Aunt Mary probably remembers that piece of metal back there behind that. And I got crawling through there one day, and I had a pain hit me in my stomach. Oh, it just was terrible. And I remember there under that tent, talking to the Lord, you know, because I had that. I remember sitting in the living room one night, looking out past the stove out the window, and the moon was coming up, and it was red. And I remember the scripture, you know, moon is blood.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking and praying, you know, to myself, I'm not ready to meet God.
Yeah.
And I'm just a little bitty fella. And so we can all look back and see times where maybe you didn't know it at the time, but now, as a Christian now, if you haven't experienced God, walked with God for all, you can look back and you can see those times. You know that God was there.
Right.
Amen? And so Brother Ram said in The God Who is Rich in Mercy, he said, many of you can fellowship with me on this thought. When you was a little boy or a little girl, you'd walk around and there would be certain things that would just, where it wouldn't bother other kids, it seemed like there was something in you that cried out. So what Brother Brown was trying to say, that as a kid, when there were things that other kids could do and carry on, whatever they were doing, but there was something in you that wouldn't let you, that you couldn't do that.
Yeah.
And so running and going and doing the things. And so Brother Brown said, we can all fellowship on that. We can look back in our life and see, hey, there's places in our life that we know that the Lord was dealing with us, that he was pulling us, that he was protecting us. We all have those kinds of stories and so forth. And so we appreciate that. And so that was God back then, even when you didn't know him, that was God beginning to pull you and deal with you because you're coming.
That's right.
Right? You're coming to his gospel. Amen. And so Brother Branham tells the story about the steel mill. I mean, remembers that.
Yeah.
He tells a story about the steel mill where a man took him and gave him a tour of this place where they machined all kinds of, had, I guess, lathes and different things where they would machine metal throughout the day, making things, axles or whatever it was they were making there. And so Brother Bam said it was at the end of the day there, and everybody was, the bell was ringing, they were fixing to go home from work, and everybody took their aprons off and laid them down, and they all left. And the man that was giving Brother Branham a tour, he said, I want to show you something. He said, but before all those men left, they all took brooms and they swept all the shavings off of their machines, those metal shavings. They pushed them out into an alleyway, and they all left. And this man said, I want to show you something. And so he pushed a button, and here comes a great big magnet out. Great big old thing come rolling out on a crane like that, and he come out there where all that stuff was, and he pushed that button, and all that metal just, you know, that magnet picked it up.
Yeah.
And Brother Bam said, well, what are you going to do with that? And I said, well, you want to take it, and we're going to put it back in the thing that they melted in, and it'll just be made over again into something else, you know. And so Brother Branham was having a revival there, right? He said, glory to God. And he said, I want to ask you a question. He said, well, how come this right here, I noticed some of this metal didn't go. When that magnet went to pick it up, this didn't go. And Brother Branham, and the guy said, well, this is aluminum. And aluminum is not magnetized to the magnet.
Right.
If you ever had a magnet, it won't stick to the moon. He said, so it won't go because it's not magnetized to the magnet. And so Brother Brown was, you know, having a really good time now. And so then he says, well, what about this right here? This is steel. And he said, well, you see, that was bolted down. And so that's why that didn't go up when the magnet was. And so Brother Brown, when he's talking about it, he's trying to let you know that, see, the believer is magnetized to the great magnet in the sky. Brother Bam says that one day that magnet will come and it'll pick us up, you know. And so, but not just in body change, but I'm trying to illustrate that just in your daily walk.
Right.
There's a great magnet in the sky that's pulling.
Yes.
Right? And it's pulling on you. And so Brother Bam's using that for an example. He took that experience and he preached that over the pulpit in the gospel to let you know that that's the way it is. That God is pulling.
Amen.
And there are some people in this world that do not feel that pull.
Yeah.
Right? They do not feel that pull. But there are those who do, and there are some who feel that pull, but they're bound down to too much of the world and they don't respond because they're weighted down or bolted down to worldly things, yeah. Right? And so, but there are those who aren't bolted down to worldly things that are magnetized, that when that magnet comes over, it picks them up. Yeah. And we're all hoping and praying and believing that that day will come, rapture will come, and that that will happen. But the truth of it is that every day in our walk, God's pulling.
Yeah.
Right? God is pulling, and that pull is working on us.
That's right.
Right? And there are people who got too much of the world, and it just keeps them out of church and keeps them here and keeps them there, and they just don't give up because the world's holding them down. But they feel it. They feel God dealing with them.
Yeah.
Right? But listen, they're not going to go anywhere as long as they're holding on to the world. You've got to let go of those things and let this pull do its work.
Amen.
Because he's pulling like that. And there are those that don't even feel it. And so I'm just thinking, you know, that if that just kind of illustrating, if that metal laying there on the floor could talk, and when that magnet began to pull that metal, it began to shake and like that is, oh, man, I feel it. Something's happening to me. And this aluminum over here is like, I don't feel nothing. That sermon didn't speak to me.
Uh-huh.
I don't hear nothing in that voice on that tape.
Yeah.
Well, brother, sister, I do.
Amen.
I do feel something like that. And there are those that are like, they know that it's right, but they just can't quite let go of the things of the world.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, others may not be able to physically look at you. They might not be able to look at you and tell that you're being pulled, but you know it. You know it because you feel that working in your life. You hear that voice calling. These words speak to you. The sermons speak to you. The songs speak to you, right? More than just songs and a feel-good thing. But I'm not talking about Pentecostal feeling. I'm talking about something that goes beyond that. God pulling at you. Preparing you. And so, Brother Brandon used that illustration, and like I said, so others might not be able to tell, but you know it because you're experiencing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's become real to you.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to come to the place where when you sit in church and you listen to what's being said, that you understand what they're saying. Not just intellectually understand, but you know because you've experienced it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
When you say, I feel the present, you know what they're talking about because you've experienced it, right?
Right?
See, like they say, is this apple sweet or is it sour? I don't know. I haven't taken a bite out of it, right? You got to take a bite out of it to know whether it, and so once you take the bite, now you know.
Yeah.
And then when somebody says, oh, that was a sweet apple, you say, amen, brother, I know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens. See, you've got to come to that place where this becomes a reality to you. And then you know what others are talking about. And then when the preacher says things, you're saying, hey, man, brother, that's right. I know. Because I've been there. I know God does that, and he's done that to me. And you can amen it. And that's your lick of fire coming out there to blend with everybody else's lick of fire. See, that's how it works. And so you know that God's dealing with you or not. You know whether or not you're just coming to church as a tradition.
Yeah.
Or whether or not God's really dealing with you. Right? Because if God is dealing with you, it makes no difference what sermon you listen to, you know, what chapter you're reading out of the Bible, whatever it is, it's speaking. Because he speaks to you. And so when God begins to deal with you and speak to you and draw you, you know, I want to talk a little bit about the way those things manifest. And that's really kind of what I've already been talking about here. But when God begins to pull you, it'll manifest in your life in certain ways. And there's multitudes of ways. But it'll start pulling you away from sin. Away from worldly things. Away from drama. I have to throw that in there because there's so much of it. It's ridiculous nowadays. Away from materialism. Away from things that are temporal. Temporary. Away from Hollywood, away from worldly music, right? We can all say amen. Yes, we know that the Lord pulls you away from those things.
Right.
And he pulls you toward something. He pulls you toward a desire for more of the Word to be manifest in your life. More of God. He pulls you in the direction where that's happening. It pulls you in a direction where you just want to see Jesus glorified.
Yeah.
You just want to see somebody else come to recognize that He's their hope and their stay.
Mm-hmm.
You just want to see that happen. You want to see people start living righteous living.
Right.
Right? You want to see those things. You want to see His kingdom come.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And see, that's why Brother Rem talked about there in Ezekiel, the rider with the acorn. We've talked about this several times. That said, go out there into the city, and you mark it with a rider's ink, and you put a seal upon it, mark upon everyone that sigh and cry against abominations done in the city. And they went, and he marked them all. Everyone that sighed and cried, everybody that has something in them that it just dug out of. They couldn't stand it that people lived unrighteous around them. That they scream and holler at their kids and fight with one another, and they drink and do all this stuff. It's just something. They just couldn't stand it. It just grated out all the time. Vexed them, maybe even could say that. And so they went out and marked all those that had that crying and sighing in their heart. And then told the angels, the one with the destroying weapon, now, you go and you destroy all those that do not have that mark. And you say, well, that was Ezekiel, but the prophet in our day said that repeats in our day.
Mm-hmm.
That's repeating in our day. So God's looking for those who sigh and cry.
Yeah.
And you know, this is not something you do, but it's something God does in you. But you can snuff that out, cover it over, you know, and you don't want to do that. You want that pull of God. Move things out of the way so that you can feel that pull more.
Mm-hmm.
Unbolt yourself from this world so that you can feel that pull more, so that God can express through you that pull.
Amen.
That it begins to show itself for you more and more each day. That you become even more sensitive to these things, and that you know that you have a burden for lost, and you want to see God glorified. And so, you just have a desire that you want to see people live right. And so, this thing is when I say a pull, and it's just something down inside you, it's a burden. We talk about, I have a burden for this one, I have a burden for that one. There's a lot of people who have no burdens.
That's right.
They have nothing they want for God, you know. But, you know, there's a reason why in the scriptures it says the burden of the word of the Lord. So much that these prophets, the burden of the word of the Lord. But why? Because when the word of the Lord comes to you, it creates a burden.
That's right.
Something heavy on you.
Yes.
And it affects you, and you walk with that burden. And it is a burden. Right? I thought it was interesting because I was going to mention this tonight. And in her words of her song, was talking about the burden. Because Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say there wasn't going to be a burden.
Right.
He said it's light.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is a burden to carry this word inside your bosom, to have that pull of God dealing with you,
mm-hmm,
and affecting you. But God does that because He wants to express through you something that will maybe perhaps cause the person next to you to get thirsty for the same thing.
Yes.
Right? If you don't live it, if you don't express it, how are they ever going to know?
Right.
Right? God needs somebody to believe that He can manifest through,
yeah,
so that they'll see it and they'll know it.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know who's predestinated, but God does, and He puts us in contact with people,
yeah,
so that we can be an influence to them. And even if they're not predestinated, even if they're just going to be foolish virgin, I want to do everything I can to help them be good and be what they need to be whatever category they're in. And if they're neither one, if they're going to be lost, I want to bless their life so they can have a wonderful life here,
yeah,
before it's over with. And so it is a burden. The burden of the word of the Lord. And like I said, there's some people that do not have burdens. They just, you know, but I'll say because the word of the Lord's not speaking to them. Because if God's dealing with your heart, You have a burden.
Amen.
Amen. It's kind of like I've said so many times about, you know, my grandmother, when it'd be some supper time, you know, and I'd want a little snack about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and she'd say, hey, you ain't eat no snack, because if you do, you'll ruin your supper. And I don't know if I've told you this before or not, but there were a time or two where I did get the snack and my supper. Wait, what, she went, ruin your supper? Meaning I wouldn't be hungry when supper was ready at 6 o'clock or whatever. And there were times where I got that snack at 4 o'clock, and she was right. When supper time rolled around, I didn't want anything. Right? And in our house, you ate anyway. You didn't. It was supper time, you ate. But anyway, see, you can let so much worldly stuff weight you down that that pool doesn't get anything, get anywhere in your life. It doesn't manifest anything. So many parables that tell this, right? Choked by the thorns. So many parables that let us know that we've got to have, to let go of the things that's holding us back. And so some people are just so full of other things that they have no appetite for God. Right? And so we know that. I pray, Lord, we don't be that way. And so God pulls us, and it works, these things in our lives, a burden within us. And so it's by this pull that we begin to realize that we are not what the rest of the world is. We begin to realize that the flesh, our flesh, and even the desires of the flesh, that that's not really who we are. Right? We realize that there's something different, something greater than just a child that was born from your mom and dad. The scripture says in St. John chapter 1 that we were not born of the will of the flesh or the will of man, but by the will of God. So you can say, well, my parents, they decided they want to have a baby. They might have. They might have done that. It may have physically brought you. But the scripture said you were born by the will of God from heaven. Amen. That's why we're here. And God just used mom and dad as instruments to process you into this world. But that's not the purpose. Right? So you get in the car and you drive, you know, from here to Little Rock, you know, the whole purpose is to get you to Little Rock, but it's not the car. The car is not the thing. It's just what got you there.
Right.
Right? But it's you. And so your parents got you here. That's just the will of God working to bring that. But we come here by the will of God. And so we begin to realize that we're more than just a child, some person and born of our natural parents. But we begin to realize we have a heavenly parent. So, Brother Branham says, and this is the last sermon that he preached, communion. I'll read this. It's rather lengthy, but I just felt like I want to read this tonight. We're getting ready, coming to communion, by the way. We're having a New Year's Eve service. Probably start at 6, I believe. And we'll have communion and feet washing afterwards. And then if after we're done with that, if we have time after that, we'll have some fellowship, Lord willing. And so we're going to be coming to communion here in a couple of weeks. So this goes good with what we're talking about. So communion in 1965, Brother Branham says, 40 years ago, William Branham isn't the same one tonight. If somebody back there would say, William Branham, he was a rank rascal, see, because I was born of Charles and Ella Branham. In their nature, I was a sinner, and I came to the world a liar, and the habits of the world lay right in me. This was your prophet saying this about himself. And that's true. Your earthly birth, your earthly parent, that's what you get from them, right? Even if they're Christians. They have babies. They're born in sin, shape, and iniquity, because God don't have grandchildren.
Right.
Everybody has to come to God on a new birth. So, but Brother Branham says, all the habits of the world laid in me, but down in there too was another nature present. See, predestinated was in there by God. In this same body, see, two natures in there. Now think about that. I was the same way. I was just an ornery little boy.
Yeah.
But yet, something was speaking to me.
Mm-hmm.
There was two natures in there. Brother Ben says, well, I only catered to one. And as it growed, I grew as a baby, da-da, first thing you know, I became a liar. Because everything else that's a sinner, become everything else of the sinner, because I raised up that way, but down in there was a little speck of life all the time.
Yeah.
This is what God has wanted us to realize who we are and to identify with. We're so easily, naturally identify with the flesh and the failures and all the things, the limitations. But God's trying to get us to recognize that's not who we are. He wants you to recognize who you really are. And so Brother Graham says, he growed up and became a liar, and all those things that was in his center laid there in him. Because he was raised up that way, that's where he come, just like us. But in the midst of all that was a little speck of life all the time. Said, I used to remember as a little boy, said, I hope I'm not holding you too long. Hope I'm not. He said, sitting out there on the creek bank. And I'd sit there and I'd look around at nighttime. Papa, Mom, they're going on to their rest. And them days, they were sinners. And there was no Christians in our home at all. Brother Evans said, there were no Christians in his home.
Yep.
So where'd this come from? Where'd this influence come from? Wasn't his parents, right?
Mm-hmm.
Come from somewhere.
Uh-huh.
Something dealing with you, where'd it come from?
Yeah.
Right? It's the pull of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. There wasn't any Christians in our home at all, and oh my, drinking and partying and carrying on. He said, it made me sick. Why did it make him sick?
Mm-hmm.
Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't it make him sin? Why didn't he go up that way? And that thing, you know, and you know the story. He tried to give me that cigarette, give me that bottle,
yeah.
And he couldn't do it.
Right.
That is a magnified form of what you and I, because he had a great ministry, but the same thing happens with us. There's times that God held us back
mm-hmm.
from doing things that we shouldn't have done when we were way back then.
And
Brother Bim said, I'd take my lantern and my dog, and we'd go to the woods and stay all night. And in the wintertime, I'd hunt till the party was over, maybe until daylight in the morning. And I'd come home, and if it wouldn't be over, I'd lay up on top of a shed and sleep and wait till daybreak, till daylight to break. Then I would think, back to him sitting on the creek bank, he said, then I'd think of how at times then being out there in the summertime and get my sticks and put them there for a little windbreak where it rained, and lay there, and I have my pole sticking in the water fishing, and my old coon dog laying there, and I'd say, looky here. And you'd look over and you'd see a flower. Right? And so I'd say, looky here. You know, last winter I camped right here one night, and I built a fire right here when I was waiting for my old dog here to tree a coon. Or whatever it was. And I had a fire here and was froze, the ground froze 5 inches deep in the ground. But little flower, where did you come from? He's sitting there looking at the flower, and he said, no, wait a minute. I camped back here in the wintertime and it was frozen 5 inches deep, and I even built a fire. And he goes on to say, he said, where'd you come from? See? Well, And where did you come from? Who came out here and planted you? What hothouse did they bring you out of? I asked you that. Right? Think about it. What's down inside you, God dealing with you. Where did that come from? Didn't come from this world. Didn't come from mom and dad. Didn't come from peer pressure. Where does it come from? And so Brother Bram's illustrating this. What hothouse did they bring you out? Hothouse did they bring you out of? And what about it? Where did you come from? See, that little flower, I'd say, why it was frozen and everything. And I built a fire on top here. Besides the freezing element, there was a heat element laying right here on a big old log where I burnt you. And yet, here you are, and you're alive. Mm-hmm. Where'd you come from? Mm-hmm. Could say that about a Christian.
Yeah.
In the midst of a filthy Laodicean world, raised up with a bunch of, some people raised up with a bunch of moonshiners, and people died with their boots on and all kinds of stuff. Raised up in all the filth and nonsense you see in school.
Yeah.
Everything, right? And yet here you are.
Yes.
Where'd that come from? Yeah. Right? Where did you come from? How did you get to where you're in church tonight? How did you get to the place where you have a desire for God when you look back there and you didn't, and you was raised in an environment that you shouldn't have? Mm-hmm. How did it get here? And Brother Branham says, what was it? He said, there was another. Now, he's relating to flour, but he brings it back. And he says, what was it? There was another William Branham, see? A little spot of eternal life down there from the genes of God, the Word of God, that were placed in there. Because he doesn't say it. Son of Charles and Ella Branham. Boot, just, you know, parties, all that kind of stuff. But there's something calling. Like that flower. He said, each one of you can think of similar things. Can't we?
Yeah.
Amen. See? It was working. And I look up in the tree and I think, leaf, I seen you fall off last year. And why are you back here again? Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Where'd you come from? What brought you here? See? It was eternal life working in the body.
Mm-hmm.
Now, then one day I walked on and that voice talking, don't ever drink, never drink, smoke, and so forth. And the young fellows and all got older, see, and there was something moving. But yet all at once I looked up and I said, I'm not the son of Charles and Ella Branham. Now he was physically. But he realized that's not really who he was.
Mm-hmm.
So now he realized, I'm not the son of Charles and Ella Branham. There's something calling like my equal. I'm not a chicken. There's something up yonder somewhere. Oh, great Jehovah, whoever you are, open up. I want to come home. There's something in me calling. Then I was born again. That little life was laying there. The life of water was poured upon it, and then it began to grow. Now the old life was forgiven and put into the sea of God's forgetfulness to never be remembered against me no more. Now we stand justified as though we never had sinned in the presence of God. And this is the last sermon Brother Branham preached. The last thing. I always thought, you know, just the way God did things with this message to vindicate it. And the last thing Jesus did with his disciples was have communion.
Mm-hmm.
And the last sermon that Brother Branham preached was communion.
Right.
Right? Just the way God would do it. But in that story, in that communion, this is what he told us. That he come to that place, and that's the way believers are. We come to this place, we realize that I'm not what's in this world, I'm not this flesh, but I am what's down inside me that's feeling that pull, that's responding,
that's right.
That God is speaking to, that's got me burdened for the word of the Lord. That's who I am, that's who you are, amen? So we are so happy to know that there is a pull from God, that because it makes all the difference in our lives. Thank God for that, and may the Lord never let that go away. Right? It won't, because He promised. Amen. And so we are thankful for His pull in our lives. Amen. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord, we just want to tell you that we love you. We thank you, Lord, as we have said tonight, for you dealing with our hearts, pulling us, Lord, in the direction of righteousness, Lord. We know, God, that if you had not done that, if you weren't doing that on a daily basis, we would not come. And so, Lord, we're thankful that you do deal with our hearts. And we pray, God, that you would just expand out your call. And may it begin to deal with more people. But May it begin to deal with our loved ones and our friends and those around us, Lord, because we feel that time is closing out. And Lord, so we just pray that the burden of your word that is in our lives, we pray, God, that it just be multiplied, Lord. That through us, Lord, through that burden and crying out to you, Lord, that you could reach out and touch other lives. Lord, don't let us go through this life not touching lives of others, but let us be surrendered to you that others might come to know you. We pray, God, that you don't let us be caught up in the things of the world that keep us distracted so that we don't become fruitful. But Lord, may we be able to lay before you and you'll be able to produce fruit in our lives. We ask, God, that you do this for each one. Lord, cause our hearts to be stirred. Cause us to draw nigh to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oh, can't you see why I'm so happy? I've accepted the word of the Lord, a revealed word that was spoken by the prophet about the God of hope. Oh, can't you see? Yeah.